Hello, hello. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of our PAC Politics Podcast. Our podcast is brought to you by our organization, our United Resource PAC. If you don't know, we are a tax-exempt political organization. I am your host, Brittany McDowell, and again, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Today shouldn't be a long one, guys. Long story short, we are going to examine this kind of narrative being put out there, which is that the stimulus package that was passed by Congress, which has failed to get a signature from the president, which we'll talk about a little bit later, the narrative right now is that, well, look, this was really a foreign stimulus that helped other countries more than it actually helped Americans. That's what I want to very briefly examine. Does the stimulus package that was recently passed by Congress, does it stimulate foreign economies more so than it does the American economy? We'll briefly examine that, and then I will let you be on your merry way. So sit back, let's get this episode started so we can get on with our hump day, right? All right, let's go. So everyone is totally up in arms right now with this demand that President Trump has, which is that, look, I need $2,000 for the American people because the $600 stimulus that you, Congress, are willing to give them, begrudgingly, might I add, is insufficient, right? So again, everyone's kind of up in arms. You had some people who totally thought that he was just going to go along to get along, especially because he's in recent months, in recent weeks, he's been MIA. I mean, you could say that he's really been MIA during negotiations regarding stimulus pretty much this entire time, but he's been even more MIA. So a lot of people, you know, may have been in the camp of, well, he's going to sign it. He's going to go along to get along. Then you had some people who kind of expected him to not sign it anyways. But even those people, even that camp of people, their surprise isn't so much around the fact that he is unwilling to sign the stimulus package, which is required for it to be enacted into law, if you don't know. Their surprise lies more with the fact that he's doing it under the guise of demanding $2,000. And again, the president is saying, I am not. There is absolutely no way in hell that I am going to sign a stimulus package that does not have $2,000 for the American people, for individual Americans, and $4,000 for American couples. He basically is saying, take this bill back, make amendments, and then get it to me. Then we will sign it and we will go on our merry way. Before we even talk about the whole foreign aspect of this, let's have a conversation around our two political parties regarding this very unexpected recent development, right? You have Democrats that, quite frankly, when you look at what immediately happened, because this, whoa, some of you may not have really been like paying attention to what's been going on, right? Because quite frankly, when you look at the last few days, media really hasn't been covering what's been going on with stimulus with the same kind of microscope that they did, you know, in weeks prior. So essentially what you had was you had finally a vote in Congress, a vote in the House, vote in the Senate, and they, you know, both said, hey, we'll go ahead and we'll pass this bill. Now, mind you, this bill, the language, the actual bill was drafted at like 2:30 in the afternoon when it came out. And that same day, they were expected to be holding a vote on it literally within like 2 or 3 hours. Like, legislators did not have what some deem an appropriate amount of time. You had AOC say, look, like, we are not being asked to govern. We're being held hostage. Like, this is not, you can't govern like this, right? So you had a whole bunch of opposition around that. You had a whole bunch of people saying, look, I don't even know what's in here. this bill was like 5,900 and some odd, like literally a few pages short of being 6,000 pages. And I actually want to address something. I'm going to kind of go off on a tangent that I wasn't planning to go off on, but I do want to acknowledge that this kind of question. One of the things that I've seen being kind of questioned by independent media, you know, your YouTubers who report media, is this question around, well, look, if they don't know what's in it, who the heck is drafting this legislation? A lot of people, a lot of average Americans don't know, and you're not expected to know, that most of the times when legislation is quote unquote drafted and it's brought to the floor by, say, a senator or a member of the House of Representatives, that person did not actually craft that legislation. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of times the language actually comes from third parties. These political organizations that essentially get they get language, they get outlines of bills to these politicians, and those politicians a lot of times present that language, present those bills either with limited knowledge of what's truly in it or with no knowledge at all. So chances are, more likely than not, what happened was that these bills that were actually presented either came from a singular political organization and were kind of represented. But with it being that large, chances are what happened was that various forms of legislation were kind of put together. And even, technically, that is actually what happened. But anywho, we'll talk about that momentarily. But chances are what happened is you had political organization A, political organization B, C, and D all submit different, you know, bills. And then the actual politician that received them, their team probably combined them. And hypothetical, I'm not saying that's actually what happened, but given what we know about how legislative language actually comes together, how these bills are actually put together, it's not actually politicians most often that actually craft the language. So I just wanted to address that because I've seen a lot of questions around, well, how the heck do they not know, right? You have that aspect of it, but then you also have the aspect of the fact that, like, when it came to stimulus negotiations, it's really been the leadership, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell. It's really been those guys at the top who've been in negotiations. Everyone below or very few people below really knew the nitty gritty of what was actually going along. You know, they were just kind of told, go along to get along. But so let me take you back to the Democrats and Republicans, because I want to address this before I get to actually looking at the foreign aid aspect of it. I'm using air quotes when I say foreign aid. The Democrats, immediately when this was put out, you had Nancy Pelosi, the leader in the House, literally tweet out saying, yo, like, we've been asking for this, something along these lines, this entire time. And it's great to actually see the president on board with what we want. So this week we're going to get out a bill so that way we can, you know, get something done. Hey, we got the president on board. And not only did she immediately come with that last night, what we have found out this morning is that Thursday, tomorrow, Christmas Eve, you are going to have something actually on the floor to be voted on in the House of Representatives. So the Democrats, they're on board with this because, yes, you had, you know, some Democrats who have been vocal about the ineffective stimulus of $600 for American families, and they've been more kind of in favor of something along the lines of $1,200, but $2,000 is a lot more in line with what they want. They really only, you know, were open to $1,200 because they really thought that, look, when we consider the Republicans that we're dealing with, this is probably the best that we're going to do, right? But $2,000? Oh, heck yes. So when it comes to this recent move by Donald Trump, COVID in chief, President COVID in chief, the Democrats, they're actually happy, right? When you look at the Republicans, while you've had some Republicans speak in opposition to this stimulus package, whether it was in the form of outright voting against it, voting nay, or if it was in the form of voting yay or aye, but saying, well, look, I voted yes because American people need it, but I don't believe it's, you know, X, Y, and Z. I want to make something very clear. A lot of Republicans who did not support or do not support the congressional legislation that was passed regarding stimulus, they didn't support it not because you had very few, okay, what Josh Hawley, he, you know, said, well, look, we need $1,200. You had very few Republicans who were like, look, we need more money. Most of these Republicans who were in opposition to this stimulus were in opposition either because they outright did not want to spend any money at all, or because, going back to what I referenced earlier, they felt like they just simply didn't have enough time to read the bill. So I don't want you to, we can't lump in everybody together, right? Just how we can't do that with the Democrats. Not all Democrats wanted, you know, $1,200. You had some who felt $600 was sufficient and they, you know, were like super happy and excited for the $600, while some wanted a lot more, whether it's $1,200 or $2,000 plus. On the side with the Republicans, not all Republicans who were in opposition to the legislation were in opposition because they wanted to do more. A lot of them were in opposition because they didn't want anything at all. A lot of them were in opposition because, you know, some might say rightly so, look, we can't read 5,000 pages in the matter of a few hours. And so you really have a problem here, because anyone who was being honest about what has been going on with stimulus negotiations cannot look at everything we know, everything we've observed over the last few months. They cannot rationally and honestly look at everything we have seen by Republicans and think that Republicans genuinely want to go above and beyond when it comes to helping people. I mean, if you've been listening to a lot of the conversation around why we've even been able to wrangle Republicans into doing that, the measly $600, it's only because of what's going on in Georgia. If we would not be in a situation, if we weren't in a situation where we had an election coming up in Georgia, where we had the fate of congressional leadership over in the Senate, if we didn't have the fate of Mitch McConnell and his ability to wield the just almost incredulous and crazy amounts of power that he currently wields, if we weren't facing that type of situation, a lot of people, they say the best kind of indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And if we look at the past behavior of Republicans throughout what is going on during the stimulus negotiations, we would be remiss to see anything at all, because it's always been, no, not for you. File bankruptcy. Let them go bankrupt. Go to the food lines. Get COVID. You'll be fine. And I heard something, I don't know if any of you caught Cuomo's coronavirus briefing this morning, and I'm going off here on another tangent. I was watching it while I was preparing for this podcast, and I heard him say something that I didn't even think before, and I was like, whoa. He was referencing what we're seeing in various states. He was talking about, you know, the absolutely absurd numbers that we are seeing in terms of COVID infections and deaths and so on and so forth. And he was talking about, you know, how you have some politicians in certain states that have told their constituents, oh, don't worry about COVID. It's not anything to be worried about. You know, go to the restaurants. You don't need to wear a mask. The same people who have been telling their constituents that are some of the first people who have not just planned to get the vaccine, but they've already got it. That shot was in and out a long time ago. And he literally, some people might have said jokingly, but he literally, and I think rightly so, pointed out like the intellectual inconsistencies. If you genuinely don't believe that COVID is a threat, why the heck do you need a vaccine? And get this, as much as these people claim to be fiscal conservatives, save the state the money. Like, you don't need it, don't get it. This is why I say, look at what they do. Forget what they say. F what they say. Like, it means nothing. That's like if a house is burning right now and I say, oh, it's okay, it'd eventually go out. It's not that serious. It'd just burn that pot. It won't burn the entire kitchen. But then when my house is on fire, I go get the water hose, but I tell you don't need the water hose. It's too expensive to turn the water hose out. It will just stop on its own. Or, oh, that fire ain't real. Go in your house, sit and make something in your kitchen. That fire is not real. This is exactly what those people are doing. But anywho, reeling myself back in from that, when we look at the situation of, you know, the Democrats and their acceptance and, quite frankly, glee over what President Trump pulled last night, look at what we're seeing from the Republicans. At the time of me recording this podcast, Mitch McConnell, his office is still declining to comment, or it was still declining. Again, I don't know when this will actually go out, when my people will get this online. But at the time that I recorded this, went to Dutch Bros and got my coffee this morning. Mitch McConnell was coming back in the car. And, you know, like Mitch McConnell was still saying, no comment. Have you heard any news from any Republicans on this? They are in a conundrum because they know if they outright either vote no, or if they outright just decide to do nothing in regards to this call for $2,000, they understand the optics of this. Remember what I've been saying, like, for the longest, and it is so, 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 so true. Politics is about perception. That perception can be about what you see, what you hear, you know what I mean? Like, it's about perception. And they understand what the perception will be if they say no. And remember, the only reason, or the only relevant reception that they care, perception that they care about right now, not reception, the only relevant perception is perception related to the Georgia election. Their people are all, especially Loeffler, getting hammered down there, being dragged through the mud. Rightly so, if you ask me. So do they say nothing? Now, some of you need to understand too, on a like 2-second tangent here, there is a situation in which we have a couple of ways in which this whole thing can go. Congress can say if in 10 days the president takes no action, then they can essentially vote again and basically just kind of proceed without the president on this. Then there's also the possibility that if Republicans or Democrats decide to just kind of pull out or stall, that essentially it can kill everything at this point. And we can kind of go back to square one. So things aren't necessarily, even though the president was the one, COVID in chief was the one who kind of pulled the stunt, as some might call it, last night. We really need to be looking at more than just him. And more so than him, quite honestly, I think we need to be looking at the Republicans. What are they going to do here? You have to understand, too. Remember months ago, I can't tell you when I started saying it on the podcast, but I will tell you months ago, like in the summer months ago, I was saying, look, you had a lot of people who were saying that COVID in chief, Donald Trump, didn't want to help the American people. And I was actually saying, this man wants to be reelected. Keyword, perception. So he was actually trying to help and get things done. Not all Republicans were up for re-election. The ones who weren't up for re-election, they openly could just deny, especially those 20 in the Senate who, nope, we ain't doing a damn thing. They didn't have to worry. They're not up for re-election. So what the heck did they care about? The only Republicans who really possibly even acted like they were even thinking about doing something were the ones who were up for re-election. But I was saying months and months and months ago, while a whole bunch of people were walking around and stating this kind of false narrative that President Trump didn't actually want to help people, I said, actually, he's the only Republican trying to do it. But a lot of people were so hellbent on not giving President Trump credit that... Now, look, and I'm not saying, even while I say that he wants to help people, we all know who he is. We all know that even though we all have a certain, just even like at a biological level, like we all want to preserve ourselves, we all want to do what's in our own best interest, that man is like it to the 10th to the 19th level, right? And so the only reason, for instance, he wants to get that $2,000 out to people is, some might say, for a 2024 run, but let him tell it. If you listen to that video he put out last night, the next term might be him in 2020, like, 2021, who knows, whatever, right? There ain't no who knows, we know, right? We know the Constitution. We know, you know, that the elector, we know, dude, it ain't you, right? But a lot of people, I don't know. I genuinely, you could say that it's related to a potential upcoming political dealings, right? An upcoming political campaign. Some people might say, and I'm also inclined to kind of think this as well, that part of what we see going here is a rift between Trump and other Republicans. I was saying months ago, we were seeing infighting at its best or at its worst, however you want to put it, within the Republican Party. And a lot of people have been under the impression, because we really haven't seen too much, that, oh, well, maybe it's been done. Maybe it's been swept under the table. The infighting within the Republican Party is alive and well. Republicans understand, and I think they're becoming more and more clear every day, that even with Trump losing the election, Trumpism is alive and well, and he will continue to lead. You could say that it's something other than the Republican Party, right? Because people like me, when I think of a Republican, I think of like your John McCain. I think of John Boehner. That to me, that's a Republican. I don't know who these people are today. I don't know who they are and what they are, right? And you could have the conversation around, well, look, they did this to themselves. They welcomed them. We can have that conversation another day. But point of it is, what we're seeing is we're seeing infighting within the Republican Party. And it's bigger than $2,000 check. It's literally a fight over the party. Trump, COVID in chief, he feels like he was done wrong. He feels like he was left out to dry. So if I can't be in this house, I'm burning it all down and I'm taking you all with me. That is what we are seeing. Now, if it happens to benefit the American people in the process, you could say sure, but then you also have to understand, consider the devil we are dealing with. These Republicans, they will never, ever, ever, even with the stuff going on in Georgia, they will not do a $2,000 check, at least a majority of them. The question will be, can we get the bare minimum that we need to make it happen? I don't know. I legitimately don't know. Why? Because they are being silent. So let me get to, I really could go on and on about that. I really could. There is a lot, I mean, so much. And let me say this, I feel disheartened when I see certain, especially YouTubers, like you already expect a like a you already expect a certain amount of ish from what some people refer to as the mainstream medium, right? Like they're just not going to say certain things because it doesn't play to the overall narratives of their, multimedia conglomerate. But then when I see these people who call themselves independent journalists, who call themselves champions of the people, particularly on YouTube, right? It saddens me when, at the very least, they're not honest about where they're coming from. At least I straight up and down, I let you know, look, we're a political organization. Right, we're not affiliated with a certain party or politician, but we do have political ideology that we adhere to. We want what's in the best interest of people, of individuals, of families, of communities, right? Like, we don't believe that you should have a COVID deal that neglects the will of the American people, that does little to nothing to help them. We don't support that. We can't promote that. That's not what we're for. As an organization, we are exclusively focused on COVID-19 economic stimulus and relief. But you have these people who call themselves, who champion themselves as independent journalists, which we've never claimed. I'm not a journalist. Like I'm not, yes, I host a podcast, but this is not what I do for a living, right? Look, and these people, they get on there, and again, this is why I tell you, you cannot just be a consumer. You have to be a consumer who is able to understand what you are consuming. When you see people and they decide to use specific, nobody forces people to use certain words. Nobody forces people to describe things in certain ways. But when people do, you have to be willing to look at it and then understand why they are doing that. But I'm not going to go on that tangent. I'm not. Because I could, but I'm not, because I get disheartened. You have a lot of people like, boy, anywho. So look, let me get to the ultimate question here, which is what this whole podcast episode is about today. And if you've seen the video that came out last night with COVID in chief, and you see, it was a very brief video. It was a pre-recorded video. I don't think it was live. He talked about why he cannot support or why he's outright refusing to sign the bill that was passed by Congress. He claimed, and he actually names line by line money that is going to very specific foreign governments as an issue. He names other things. But his main sticking point was like, look, like this is money, like money is going to other companies. People are getting this, people are getting that. Like he was very, very detailed about it. And one of the things that I have yet to hear on mainstream media when they actually do talk about this is that if you happen to be on Twitter yesterday, pretty much trending a significant majority of the day was kind of this conversation where both not just your average American civilians, but politicians were voicing opposition. They were online and they were like, yo, we can't support this. And they were outright asking Trump, COVID in chief, to veto it, to not sign it. Like on Twitter, it was trending. People don't support it. Now, here's the deal. In the words of our president-elect, and I'm going to wrap this up in under a minute and a half, I promise. The COVID relief bill was passed as part of a funding bill for our government. to fund the government through the 2021 fiscal year. Now, foreign aid and foreign countries were not part of, because it was a two-part deal. You had A and B. A was coronavirus relief. B was government funding. The foreign aid, the financial aid for foreign governments, it was present, but it was not attached to the stimulus. It was attached to the funding of the government, okay? And a lot of people have been making the argument, well, look, he was lying. No, he wasn't lying. Could he have made it more clear? Absolutely. But here's the question I want to pose. Even with us knowing that they were two different things, even with us knowing that funding of their governments was part of the omnibus, but not part of the actual stimulus package, even with us knowing this, we know that they were separate, but should we really be giving, for example, as something we know is in there, $500 billion to Israel to help them, to give them money to fund their government, not their government, but to fund their military? Should we be really giving them money when we literally can't help Americans pay their rent for one freaking month? It's fall, and you know what that means, right? You can find us on Facebook. No, I know that fall and Facebook have nothing to do with each other, but they both start with the letter F. So, according to my logic, perfect time to tell you about finding us on Facebook since it is fall. Isn't that exceptional logic? By my point of view, it is. Anywho, in the description box below, you'll find a link to our Facebook page. Check us out. If you like us, like our page, we'll be more than glad to have you. Again, find us on Facebook. Look in the description box below for the link. Hey, this is Brittany. Just wanted to shoot you a quick reminder. Look in the description box of this episode and you can find a link to our website. On our website, you can find our latest blog posts. You can find our contact information. You even want to make a contribution, you can go over there and do that as well. You can find out the policies we are looking at and targeting as an organization. You know, I say all the time that we are a tax-exempt political organization. If you want to know more about that, again, go on over to our website, our-pack.com, where you can find out everything you want to know. You can do everything you want to do. We will gladly, gladly, gladly welcome you on our website with open arms. Again, check out our website in the description box below. All right, so that's our Wednesday. This is our Wednesday, but this is our show. My mind is already ready to end this show when I think about what's going on, the drama with the stimulus. But let me try that again. Okay, so that is our show this Wednesday, December 23rd. Thank you so much for tuning in. Just if you don't know, I can't really give you any predictions about what's going to happen, right? What we do know is that, you know, COVID in chief President Trump has said, look, I'm not signing anything unless we take this up to $2,000 for individual Americans instead of a $600 stimulus check. So we've just got to kind of wait and see, you know, what was happening with that. But I do want you to be aware that as it relates to these claims around foreign stimulus and stimulating other economies, I want you to be very aware of what's happened, right? We did not just pass a stimulus bill. We passed the omnibus, and the omnibus funded the government for the fiscal year 2021. So that is why you're seeing that in there. But I do want you to ask yourself, even though that's technically not in the stimulus and it was just, a separate thing that happened to be passed at the same time, question, ask yourself, if you're online and you talk to elected officials, ask them, should we really be trying to give that money to other countries when literally, when you consider $600 relative to the the average amount of rents in individual states across the country, like literally in no state will $600 cover rent, right? Like it just won't. So if we're in that situation, if we can't even help Americans pay their rent, not even help them get food or pay their medical bills, nothing for like literally pay, if we can only pay part of their rent, a fraction of their rent for 1 month, despite the fact that this stuff has been going on for 10 months, should we really be giving $500 billion to Israel? Should we be giving money to Egypt? Like, should we really be doing that? Or should we either take that money and give it to Americans, whether it's companies or individuals, or should we just be keeping it ourselves because we're apparently too poor to even help ourselves? Like, right, we always hear about bootstraps. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Let's collectively look at the American bootstrap. Like, we are literally about to have our boots stolen from us. We cannot be like, yo, like, focus on our own bootstraps. Okay, so that's it. Keep that in mind. We will not be having a show on Friday. Friday is Christmas. So Merry Christmas to those of you that celebrate. I do. And we are, today is our last day this week that we are going to be working. So I won't be working tomorrow, nor will I be working Friday. I will see you Monday. So have a fantabulous time. Please, please, please remain safe. This virus is no joke. Right? And as they are saying, our darkest days are not behind us. They are still ahead of us. Right? And we can only get through this if we take it seriously. You know, if you're one of those people, and I don't believe that people who listen to this podcast or listen to us on YouTube, I don't believe that you're any of the people, but, you know, just like use your brain. Like if you are literally questioning if this stuff is real, or if you're believing these politicians that tell you, yo, you don't need to listen to this. Yo, you don't need to wear a mask. Yo, just go out to the restaurant. Don't wear, like, if you're listening to all of that, look at what they do. Has that politician already received their vaccine? If they have, look at what they do and believe what they do, not what they say. Okay? Be safe. Please keep your hand sanitizer. If you have a hazmat suit, pull that sucker out because you need it, because it is getting dangerous out there. Stay safe, and hopefully, if you play our cards right, if we all remain safe, if we all wear a mask, I'll see you on Monday, right? Merry Christmas to those of you that celebrate.